Some people are hurting so bad, you have to do more than preach a message to them. You have to be a message to them. Many of you may have been surprised by how short the gospel reading is for today. But I chose it for that very reason. A very short, succinct story that describes clearly and simply the work of God in the healing process. Jesus enters the house of Simon early in the Gospel of Luke. And now they tell him that Simon's mother-in-law has a fever. She's not there. It doesn't say what they ask him, but they consult with him. They inform him. And he goes to her. And he stands over the mother-in-law. And it says he rebukes the fever. Commands it to leave, and it leaves her. She gets up. And she goes back into the company of people in the home, and she serves them. What is it that Jesus does in this story? He listens to the expectations, the inquiries, the concern of the disciples. He goes to the person, the mother-in-law in the room. He shows up and he rebukes the very thing that is keeping her down, keeping her isolated, keeping her secluded from the community. And she rises and serves. Simple healing process. Go to Jesus. Jesus shows up, people rise up, and when they are healed, they serve. It's so simple that we often miss it. Because just because it's simple doesn't mean it's not difficult to go this way. We take it for granted. People with fevers get well, go on with their lives. Nothing really spectacular about it. Yet the gospel turns our eyes to see that this is the work of God. This is love in the flesh. When someone goes to God seeking help, when that which keeps us down is rebuked and refused and fought against and pushed away, and when one who's been down gets up and gives what she's got in service to others. Now, we don't know what kind of service she offered. In that day, perhaps she helped make the meal in that household. But perhaps in this day, she goes out and preaches a sermon. We don't know. We do know, however, that she's not named. She is named in connection to Simon, who becomes an important disciple. And she may have been sidelined by Jesus and his team coming into this house. She may have been isolated and secluded, but no, she is remembered, told she is important, recognized, and lifted up. Her very presence is her service, and what she does is also important, but she herself is missed. And this is the healing circle. one to another with God's presence in love, so that we are raised to serve, to be in relationship. This is connection, one to another. People are cared for, and they rise and care for others. The circle of healing. In the gospel message, often in the gospels, we recognize that healing happens for people when they are lifted up to serve, and there are other many stories of when people are healed, what do they do but give thanks, offer their praise. And in the early Christian community and throughout time, this has been the sign of healing in the Christian world, is the ability to give praise in community, to be welcomed back in and connected to others, as well as the ability to give of ourselves in service to others. These are the signs of wholeness and healing. Again, a simple thing we think, but not so simple when we're caught in the mire of self-pity or despair. It's not so easy to offer service when we're turned in on ourselves. It's not so easy to offer praise when we're overcome by feelings of grief or depression. The healing process takes more than someone giving us instructions. The healing process takes place in relationship to others. Jesus is present. Jesus shows up. Jesus goes to her. In many instances, Jesus touches the person, which was a dangerous thing. You could be contaminated that way. Healing is about relationship. It's not medicine in a bottle. Here, take a pill. All will be well. It takes place person to person, as we care and we're cared for. Simon's mother-in-law is seen, and when she is acknowledged, she's encouraged to rise and be of service. And this is the power of healing. This is healing ministry. And it was out of this conviction that this congregation called a parish nurse to be part of its leadership team and staff 10 years ago. Barb Suter showed up. She went to people who were hurting. She was with them not only in their illness, but in relationship. Because Barb showed up, others were able to rise up, to be here today in service and gratitude, one to another. Here is the way we live in faith, trusting that God will show up. We show up for those who are down, lifting them to life anew. It's hard to lose someone who's shown up for people who are hurting. And this congregation will deeply miss the presence of Barb Suter. She's been loved and trusted in some of the most intimate circumstances and times, most vulnerable times of people's lives. We hate to say goodbye to her, yet we send her with grace and trust, knowing she's been called in the spirit of the healing Christ, who shows up when people are hurting, even when we cannot. And it is this promise of God that we count on, that we return to, this promise of God that restores us again and again in loss and in vulnerability. The gospel is a guide, They went to Jesus and he showed up. We too can go to Jesus, to God's mercy, to the compassion of God, full of heart. Jesus stands by us in our fear and weakness. Jesus rebukes those things that hold us back, the fears that inhibit us. And Jesus calls us to be present and alive and awake for others. We aren't asked to have the right words. We aren't asked to know everything or to do it all correctly or to have the perfect timing. We aren't asked those things. We are simply asked to be present, to show up, to recognize and care. May Barb rise to new life as she moves on in her life's journey. And may Holy Shepherd rise up to bring healing, continue to bring healing in this world of pain. For some people are hurting so bad, you have to do more than preach a message to them. You have to be a message to them. Be the message, says Barb. Be the message, says Jesus. So be it in the grace of God. Amen.